Okay, great to see everyone this morning as we continue our Acts class. Hope you guys had a great week. I am super excited about the final 3 weeks of the book of Acts. We just want to give our brother Jeff Mueller another round of applause for a great job he did the last 4 weeks. And of course, Joe Washington will be here and congratulate him and Steve Collier as well. I'm excited because I've had a lot of time to digest the material and internalize the material that I've been studying. And I am super excited about being able to share with you the home stretch as we look at Ephesians, Colossians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon as we close out our Acts class. There are some exciting things that I've been studying here in the last several weeks. And it really, really has compelled me to share with you this morning in terms of the book of Acts. And I think that what's important for us, especially as we are more mature disciples, that we don't become clinical in our approach, but that we become heart and spirit-filled men and women, and that we are spirit-filled on a day-to-day basis. You guys understand where I'm coming from, right? Gary, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share, as well as the elders. Also, Richard, I really appreciate you guys letting me have this opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters. What we're going to be looking at this week, we're going to be looking at the third missionary journey. That's what we're going to be looking at. The third missionary journey is very different than the first two. The first two were more about, you know, planting churches, getting the gospel spread to all generations and all nations. What you'll find in the third missionary journey is that it's more redundant. Paul visits, he revisits some of the areas that he was at before, the region of Galatia. You know, he goes back to Macedonia. You know, he kind of retraces his steps there. What's unique about the third missionary journey is that he stays in Ephesus. It was a five-year journey. AD 53 to AD 58 is when the scholars believe that the journey took place. There are some very interesting things that happened during this journey. 3 of the years were spent in Ephesus. Really, Ephesus was the hub, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But what you really see is through the encouragement, the Holy Spirit was really alive and active. Scholars believe that the book was written somewhere around AD 60 to AD 62 when Paul was in prison. What's interesting about the text that we're going to go through in the book is that you see more of the emphasis on Ephesians. I infer some things. I look into that from a specific standpoint because Colossians is not mentioned, and I think God in his wisdom did that for a reason, even though Ephesians and Colossians were probably written at the same time. In the book of Acts, the emphasis is more on Ephesians, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. Really, I think it's encouraging to see that I think during the time of this third missionary journey, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, was doing phenomenal things. And that's what we got to look at here. He is on his third missionary journey, food for thought. And as he's older in the faith, the Holy Spirit is doing crazier things or more out there things and making him more uncomfortable than he ever was before. And what's interesting about the book of Ephesians, I think that God had him stay there for 3 years. This is my only take on that situation. Because Ephesians and Ephesus, it was probably the only church or only area in that region that was not dealing with apostasy, that was not dealing with a form of Gnosticism, you know, religiosity. You know, they had some idol worship. They had Artemis, and then they had something dealing with the Holy Spirit where, you know, they were thinking that, hey, we're going to get drunk, and we're going to speak in tongues, and we're going to babble, and, you know, but it was really minor compared to all the other issues. In Colossians, you see, it's just a mess. I mean, you've got dual dynamics going on there with the Jews wanting to keep the Sabbath. Then you got the new moon celebration going on there. And it's really interesting as you look at the text that we're going to look at, God doesn't focus on Colossians as much as he focuses on Ephesians. In Ephesians, it's a spectacular book in my mind for Christian practical application. It talks a lot about, in Ephesians, the first 3 books are just doctrinal related. You know, scholars believe it's more of a doctrinal situation, meaning that here's how you become a Christian. You're saved by grace, okay? You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. It kind of gives you an outline of just what it means to be doctrinally sound. And then in the latter 4 to 3 books, books 4 through 6, we see it being more practical. It talks about doing great things with unity through the church. you know, God's manifold wisdom, you know, pray, be filled with the Spirit, which is not an option. It is a command from God to be filled with the Spirit. It is not an option. The Spirit is not laid back. You know, it's not a California spirit. You know, it's not a spirit that's like, hey, let's just kind of go to the beach and get on a surfboard. The Spirit, it commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And then, of course, later it talks about praying with the sword of the Spirit. But what's really interesting about Ephesians, it is the only church that is this, out of the seven churches that is specifically warned many, 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 many years later. And I'm going to get to that later on. But we're going to look at Acts chapter 18. Let's start there. And let's look at Apollos. Let's talk a little bit about Ephesus. What was Ephesus about? Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. To me, Ephesus was a little bit like Atlanta without the water. Okay, we don't have any water here. We've got Lake Lanier, and then we've got to go drive 7 or 8 hours to 5 hours to get to Savannah and go to the beach, you know. The thing about Ephesus, which was interesting, it was a hub, a major commercial hub. You know, ships would come in there in that region, and it was a big hub for trade. And really, the trade was interesting. It was recognized in Asia Minor as a major area of emphasis for commercial and things of that nature. What makes that critical is that because there was no apostasy, I think the Holy Spirit used Paul in a powerful way to preach clear doctrine and to preach in a way that, okay, let me give them the foundations. I'm not fighting anything here. Let me just get to their hearts. Let me just get to the heart of the matter. And I really believe, brothers and sisters, the heart of the matter for us is the Holy Spirit. I really believe that. You know, when we pray, and you'll look at it in Apollos in a second, when we pray, here's how we pray, in Jesus' name. Most of the time, Father, thank you, in Jesus' name. We don't say, Spirit, be with us. That man inside of me. I'm going to show you a report here that was done by a scholar, and we've got to implement the Holy Spirit. We've got to see it as something that is exclusive to us. And that's very special. And that's what the trip to Ephesians, to Ephesus was all about. That's what that third missionary journey was all about. You're going to see 4 major events in the text that we're going to talk about. You're going to see how Apollos is impacted. Okay? A learned man, thorough knowledge of the scriptures. You're going to see Eutychus, who was tired after a long church service, and how he was critical to distributing the letters throughout the region, and the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead, and he was re-energized. You're going to see the strength of the Spirit that Paul gets when he's in front of all of these folks in Ephesus, the silversmiths who were making their living off of Artemis. I mean, they built this thing, this idol worship, and they were making their living. And you're going to see the strength of the Spirit in his life. When the disciples told him not to go, he was going to address 25,000 people. You're going to see him, the disciples in their hearts were discouraged that he said, the Spirit leads me to Jerusalem. The Spirit is what moves me out to Jerusalem. And then you're also going to see the command he gives the elders. You know, as he's saying his farewell speech, take care of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you to take care of. And so my point here is, as Christians, the Holy Spirit needs to define us. And that's a lot of what this journey was all about. As part of the encouragement from Paul, that was part of the journey. Let's look over in Acts chapter 18. You guys with me here this morning? Let's look in Acts 18. We're going to start out here in verse 24, and we're going to kind of jump around a little bit because I want to make sure I get to all the things that kind of show you the progression of what I'm talking about. In Acts 18, verse 24, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John baptism," they replied. Here's something interesting here. You've got Apollos, learned man, knows the Bible, the scriptures very, very well. At that time, we know that he's teaching mostly from the Old Testament because the New Testament hadn't come to fruition yet, obviously. They were living out the New Testament. And so he's teaching from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He sees all the prophecies in the Old Testament, okay, the Torah and all the old books of the Bible, and he is literally teaching them about Jesus from the Old Testament. That needs to give us great conviction. We need to be convicted by that. You know, we need to be able to say, okay, we're going to do a cross study from the Old Testament. Don't even use the New Testament. Just study the cross from the Old Testament. Study baptism from the Old Testament. That's what they were doing. This guy was teaching it accurately, but there's something he missed. He missed the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was critical. That is huge. And I think that as Christians, what we got to see, and then Paul crosses more, and as he crosses more, he's encouraging these people. Let me get my flash drive out here. He's encouraging these people that the Holy Spirit is critical. Look over here in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go there real quick. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let me find my... Good. There we go. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Now, what's really interesting about this is that back then, what would happen is if there were sacred scrolls or codices, you know, sort of sacred documents, those sacred documents would be sealed by the owner with clay. That's how they would seal the documents. And that represented ownership. Ownership was represented by a sealing of the document with clay. And that meant, you know, signed, sealed, delivered to that owner with clay. Okay? Now, what you understand about Apollos, you know, Priscilla and Aquila, they go and they study the word with him. And really for us, when we're dealing with religious people, okay, that who really love God. It's not a matter of judging them. It's a matter of, have you ever heard of lordship before? You know, you got to pray that the Spirit will help you ask the right question. You know what I mean? You can't be weird. Hey, come to my church on International Sunday. We're a great church. Well, that's offensive to them. That's offensive because they love God too. You know, Apollos loved God. You know, there was no question about it. He was accurately teaching the gospel. In fact, he would run circles around all of us in regard to his knowledge of the Old Testament versus how he was able to, you know, to deliver the message. It was clear that he loved God. And you notice there wasn't a whole bunch of, hey, you know what? Look, this is, there wasn't a bunch of arguments. He said, okay, I don't have the Spirit. I don't have the seal. I'm not recognized by God right now. And I think that as disciples, what makes us special people is that we are recognized by God. We are recognized by the Father. Last time I do a PowerPoint. But these are some of the verses in the book of Ephesians. A seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. The Holy Spirit does not have low self-esteem. Now, here's the thing. When we struggle with that area of our life, it's just an issue of us not living in the power of the Spirit enough to beat the low self-esteem. The Holy Spirit is not laid back. The Holy Spirit is not selfish. God has sealed us with every characteristic that He has. We've got everything. We've got Jesus. We've got the love of Christ in us. I'm talking to myself. We've got every characteristic. And Apollos realized, I'm deficient here. I'm deficient in one major area of my life. You know, you ever see, it's almost like the way we need to think about the Holy Spirit and what it means and why it was so critical here and during this missionary trip is that there were some critical things that needed to get done. Paul knew that he was leaving Ephesus. He needed Apollos. He needed a very knowledgeable man to kind of be there to teach more accurately the scriptures. So the Spirit knew that Apollos was a key player in helping the gospel spread, because Paul had more work to get done. And it's very similar to us. When we repent and get baptized and are filled with the Holy Spirit, God has great things to do through us. Not mediocre, not routine, not, oh, let me get up, go to work, let me check in, 9 to 5, go home, read the Bible, okay, get up. No, he wants us to do crazy stuff for him. That's what the missionary journey was all about. And that's what this is about, being sealed. Listen to me now. You know what it's like when you walk into a place where it's highly classified? There are brothers who can go places that we can't go. Alan Rouse can go places that I can't go. He's all classified. Bam, here you go. This, you know, it's some of you guys who work for government, I can't get in. They're going to treat me with contempt when I walk in. You know, if you go to the airport, you know what I'm talking about. Where's your ticket? Where's it? You go 3, 4, 5 times, you are scanned and you are viewed and you are critiqued and you are patted down. That's what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. God's going to pat down his people, and then the people who haven't been sealed, it's like, well, sorry, you got to go. That's the responsibility we have as disciples, though. And you'll see more of it here in what it means. God is patting us down, and when he pats us down, you know, we've got our spiritual VIN number. You know, VIN number, recognized ownership. License plates change on cars all the time. What a thief does when he steals a car, he can take the license plate off. It's the VIN number that the owner hides to find out. So we've got our sin number, spiritual identification number, our soul identification number. We're really special. Listen to me here. I don't think you understand. You jump higher than Michael Jordan. Okay? All right? You're wealthier. You're more wealthier than Bill Gates. We're really special. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you really understand? I mean, the impact we can have. Some of us really struggle with, you know, health issues. You're still special. Some of us struggle with, you know, literacy issues and things that get us lose our confidence, or attention issues like me. You're still special. Some of us struggle with, you know, financial issues. I don't make as much as this, but so what? So what? You're really special. And I think that's how we need to approach. That's what Paul was doing when he was encouraging disciples in Ephesus, telling them how special you are. You know, when you look at the Spirit, there's more here. Okay? There's more here. Let's go over there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Let's go there real quick. Let's look there. He came and preached peace to you, verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 16. I kind of want to share something with you here. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, high, deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God really wants to do great things through us. He really does. We are great in his eyes. Not mediocre, not average. We are special people. Spectacular people. We're flawed, we're fallible, we're weak, and we're spectacular. All in one. We're special people. And you know how he wants to do it the most? Through unity in the body of Christ. You know, hey, when you signed up, you weren't black, you weren't white, you weren't Jewish, you were a disciple of Jesus. You were counterculture, as our brother Ralph says. And there is truth to that. We are counterculture. What we wear here is just a mask. It's just a mask. It's all it is. It's all it is. As difficult as it is to say that in some of our hearts, it is the truth. And we need to be unified. And we need to be together because of that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, or one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. A lot of times people call me an idealist. Bro, you can't always expect people to be unified and see things the same way or whatever. You know, there's some truth to that. But when it comes to this stuff, I see us as one family of Christ. All over the world. All over the world. All over Atlanta. All over New York. One family of Christ. One family of Christ. Uno! There is a warning in Ephesus that deals with disunity. Disunity from God. Not loving your neighbor or not loving him. It is critical that we fight for unity. It's critical. Period. You may not like it, but it's critical. Ephesians 4:30 details grieving with the Holy Spirit. Most of the, some of the disciples had a drinking problem. And then Ephesians 5, verse 18 talks about, you know, being filled with the Spirit, praying with the sword of the Spirit. But I want to go to Galatians chapter 5 and move on so we can look at more of the Acts text here. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Being filled with the Spirit, brothers and sisters, read it on your own. That's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. There's a region, this is the region that he did come back to encourage as well. And I want you guys to see something here in Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That last one is the one I struggle with sometimes. Since we live by the Spirit, verse 25, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay? Love. This is what Paul wrote about. Okay? He wrote about the fruits of the Spirit. The love and what that love means. It means joy, peace, patience, happiness, self-control, unity. It means a lot of things. It really does. And we need to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. And there's a great danger for us as we get older in the faith where we stop growing in the fruits of the Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1 says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything we need, and that is the Holy Spirit. God has made us extraterrestrial, if you would, in his eyes, and he expects us to grow in the same qualities that he has. Do you realize that as I was studying this stuff, I realized that Jesus is mentioned less in the book of Acts than the Holy Spirit? Jesus is mentioned less. Now, that does not do anything to his authority. We know where Jesus stands. We know where Jesus stands. We're here because of Jesus. But we also are here because of the Holy Spirit. We're here because of the Father. They're all together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is critical. And I mention that not from always the miraculous gifts. We know the miraculous gifts do not exist anymore. I mention it from the part where we have to continue to grow in the qualities of the Spirit. Look at Ephesians. Look at Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. We're going to jump around here now and look at some of the text here as the missionary journey continues. Do some of the reading on your own. You'll see a lot of moving and shaking and things that are going on here in terms of Paul and just how he's trying to encourage and the things he has to deal with. But we're going to look in Acts 19, verse 13. So we know that Apollos did become a Christian. You know, he was a true preacher of the way. The way was back then the way of Christ. Jesus said, you know, I am the way to the Father. No one can come to him. No one can come to the Father except for me. I am the way. So the way. So he became a true witness for the way. And that's what we are. We're a true witness for the way. Now, look what happens when the way is mocked. Some Jews, verse 13, Acts 19. Well, I want to go back to Acts 19, verse 11 real quick here. I'm sorry. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured and evil spirits left them. I mean, that's just amazing. He did it. I mean, even the handkerchiefs. He used the handkerchiefs. He used everything. And I want to encourage us again, that point on self-esteem here, guys. I want to encourage us. God can use the weakest thing of who we are and do great things through us. That's sort of my little tie-in right there. The weakest thing. If you, let's say, for instance, you're going for whatever. You got health issues. You got to go to the doctor once or twice or three times a week. Well, just have a vision and go ahead and convert the doctor. You know what I mean? Hey, dude, look, man, I'm here because of God. Boy, it's a miracle that you're alive. You know why I'm alive? It's because I have the Spirit of Christ in me. And that man who lives in me is greater than you. And even though you've got great talent, I appreciate it, you need to use it for God's glory. And that's what you say. That's how you say it. I remember studying the Bible with a guy who was so much more academically further than me. This guy had a PhD in social work, and he just was. You look at our credentials on paper, and we studied the Bible with him. The guy is still faithful today. He's married. He's adopted a child from Haiti. It is so encouraging. It could have been easy for me to be intimidated by that guy. It could have been easy to be intimidated by his PhD in social work with clinical classes. Hey, I've got a GHD and GED and a Sidewalk University. Study the Bible, bro. And I'm going to be your leader. Because God's given me the Spirit to do it. The same way he's done it with us. Now, I think a lot of times we've got to become much more courageous in the Spirit. Are you with me? Okay, let's look in verse 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. Seven sons, skipping down to 14, of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirits jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Hey, you're going to get your pants pulled down if you don't confess your sin. You're going to get your pants pulled down if you don't confess your sin. God will give you corporal punishment. Why does Jesus say in the scriptures it's going to be so much worse when we leave? And so that's the point I want to make there, is that we got to protect the seal that we own. We've got to make sure that we are open and transparent about our sin. Everything from whatever you struggled with before, go back, trace it back, look at where you are now, and make sure that you are still a miracle. Marilyn's a miracle from God. You know, she's a miracle. She's pure-hearted. My sister-in-law Danielle's a miracle from God. You know, there are so many people here that are miracles from God. But at the same time, protect it. Protect the special place that you are. And that's what the lesson here is that they got beat down because they were in sin. They mocked the way. And God doesn't play when you mock his way. And that's really, mama don't play. You know, you guys hear that expression, right? God don't play when you mock the way. And so I think it's important as Christians, guys, don't be clinical with this stuff. Don't be linear. You know, listen, application is going to keep you safe now. Application, keep seasoning your faith. Don't just keep sitting here and doing the same old thing and being the same old person. You know, make the changes you need to make. Be transparent. Take the discipling. Get the help you need. Or, you know, we'll need more elders. You know, two should be enough for us right here. If we've got enough people who are repenting, two should be enough the size that we are. And all they're doing is taking care of the medical needs, not all the disastrous family, dysfunctional families. We threw that stuff off. Right? Right? Or did we? Are we still high maintenance? Are we still high maintenance? Are these poor elders pulling their hair out because in their wives? Because we're still high maintenance. Why? We got the Holy Spirit. If it applies to you, great. If it doesn't, let's go to the next point. But I guarantee you at some level it applies to all of us. Seriously, brothers and sisters, seriously, there's no reason to be high maintenance unless you have disastrous physical issues or mental issues. Other than that, repent or get beat down. God put it in for a reason. He knew we were going to read it. Seriously, he knew we were going to read it. Jeff, why is it in there? Bro, it's there because he knew we were going to read it, right? You're a miracle, so why take your miracle and throw it in the trash? I'm struggling with purity again. Why? 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 Self-control is an issue for me. Mama Knight gets on me. Amen. She helps me out. She won't deal with it. You know, Richard gets on me, the elders, Alan Rouse will come, whoever, you know, the brothers, bro, I don't think, but I'm going to tell you something else I want to bring up. This is something the Spirit just told me. We can't be Southern Christians here. I'm unified with my brother Robinson on that, Gary Robinson. We're in the South. We don't need to live like the South. Speak the truth in love. It's in the book of Ephesians. Speak the truth in love. The reason you don't do it is because you're high maintenance and you're afraid of how it's going to make you feel instead of saving the seal of your brother and sister. Artemis. They deal with riots in Artemis. We're going to have to wrap it up here. Artemis. The issue there was it was idol worship. The problem was there was a lot of confusion because, for the most part, they didn't want to lose their livelihood. The silversmiths were building things. Just kind of read it. It's in Acts, you know, 8:19, 23-28. There's some great highlights here. I want to make sure I'm on time so I have the privilege of doing this again. You don't give a brother a chance. You know, you kind of get, you got to watch it here now. I got to make sure. Verse 28, Acts 19. When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" That was what they put their worth in because their livelihood was lost. What is your Artemis? What are you afraid to lose? We got to be careful. What is the idol in your life right now, brothers and sisters? Anytime we hear a new teacher, man, if we start shrugging our shoulders, we got to be careful. We've got to make sure as disciples we're always following the truth. Artemis's. Then he goes on here in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, you see the hard work. Acts 20, verse 8 and 9, you see the miracle of Eutychus, who was going to deliver the message. Acts 20, verse 16, 20 to 22, compelled by the Spirit to go off to Jerusalem. Acts 20, verse 28, the Holy Spirit made you overseers. That's the charge given to the elders. Acts 20, verse 30-38, it talks about people among you who will rise up and distort the truth. And then that's something that's critical, and that takes me to Revelation chapter 2. Let's go there to make sure that we don't rise up and distort the truth in our church and that we're unified as brothers and sisters and that we grow in the faith with one another. Look in Revelation chapter 2. This is a very interesting time because, you know, obviously John is on the island of Patmos, exiled. Jesus comes to him in a spirit, comes to him and says, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among them. The seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Brothers and sisters, this was written in A.D. 90 to 92, the scholars believe, 34 years after his missionary journey, and their hearts got hard. They went from being spirit-filled people to being religious people. They went from just loving the Lord, doing great things in the Spirit, and they went from being those people who loved God with all their heart, mind, and strength when they said Jesus is Lord, and they went to being religious, hard-hearted, divided people. The Nicolaitans were there to conquer. Niko, Greek word, Niko, means to conquer. Lay, the Greek, lay, means to conquer the lay people. There were people raising up to conquer the church. They did that, but they did it with the wrong heart. Let's do what we're doing for the right heart. I got some singers here. The brothers are going to sing a song for us as we close out this class. It's just talking about his song 402, being filled with the Spirit. Thank you very much.